بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. The respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is our fourth class regarding the stories of Al-Anbiya, lessons from these great stories of the greatest people, the greatest men who ever lived. And today, inshallah, we will live with one ayah of the story of Adam alayhi salam. قول الله سبحانه وتعالى وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And remember, Allah says in the Quran that we, Allah, said to the angels, bow down to Adam. So they did, but not so Iblis, except Iblis. He refused, and he was arrogant, and he was among al-kafirin, those who disbelieved in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight we are going to answer three important questions. The first one, since the story of Adam in Surah Al-Baqarah started, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the angels. The angels said, the angels asked, the angels did this. But all of a sudden, Iblis came out. It's like from nowhere. So we want to discuss, in the light of one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this sudden appearance of Iblis. The second question that, especially the young brothers, have this question. They ask me this question often. They say, the order came to the angels to bow down. And we all know by the statement of the Quran that Iblis was not an angel. Iblis kana min al-jinn. Did he have an order actually from Allah to bow down to Adam? Did he receive an actual order? We will answer this question as well. And the third question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of this ayah described Iblis as among al-kafirin. So what was the thing that Iblis did in light of the ayah to be among al-kafirin? Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him as one of al-kafirin, and how does that relate to the conditions, the shurut, the prerequisites of al-kalima? La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the ayah starts. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اِسْجُدُوا لِآدَمِ. We all know that this sujood was not sujood ibadah. The word sujood is called in Arabic mushtarak lafzi. What does mushtarak lafzi mean? A word that is used differently according to the context. Like for example, the word ayn. In the Arabic language, the word ayn has different meanings depending on the context. We say al-aynul basira, the eye that we see with. It's called ayn. And what is the spring of water in Jannah called? Ayn ma, right? And we also call the person who comes and sees the ahwal and spies, the government's use, he's called Ayn, right? So it's called Mushtarak Lafzi. So right here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he asked the angels, ordered the angels to make sujood to Adam, but this is Mushtarak Lafzi. This word does not mean to bow down in ibadah, because ibadah is done only and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only and solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sujood was sujood of respect, to honor Adam and his children. Notice the action of the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fa sajadu. What does the letter fa mean in Arabic? It means immediate action. Immediate, there is no time. Ata Ahmad fa Muhammad. So Ahmad entered, then Muhammad right away after him. So this letter fa is very important because it gives us a great meaning. Fasajadu, immediately they heard the order and they immediately applied. And here we have a message that those who want to gain the pleasure of Allah, they must apply the slogan of Musa alayhi salam and all the Anbiya. وَعَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّي لِتَرْضَى. Ya Allah, I came to you quickly, eagerly. Now I'm going to quote a great hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This hadith was narrated by Imam Muslim through Hadrat Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu an as-sahaba ajma'in. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. أنه رأى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى في بعض أصحابه تأخرا فقال تقدموا وأتموا بي وليأتم بكم من بعدكم فإنه لا يزال قوم يتأخرون حتى يؤخرهم الله. الله أكبر. أبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم saw some of his companions coming slowly to the first rows. They are coming slowly. So the Prophet ﷺ said, come eagerly to the first line. Huh? Come eagerly, eager to the first line. And stand up behind me. And those in the second row, let them stand behind the first row. Then he warned the Sahaba by saying, and some people will delay themselves until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will delay them. So this is a rule in Islam. Anybody who comes eagerly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the reward and will give him the fruit of the ibadah quickly. And anybody who delays himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will delay them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. Okay. So the story is talking about the angels. Allah said to the angels, the angels said that, the angels asked, and all of a sudden, Iblis comes from nowhere. But this has a great significance. Dr. Jeffrey Lang said, I was wondering, the story is talking about the angels all the way, and all of a sudden, Iblis, Shaitan, this rebellious force comes from nowhere. What's going on here? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so generous and so just. You know, because all the time we hear about shaitan and iblis, what? Making waswas khannas, like waswasa, whispering in our ear, trying to deviate us. Isn't it true? Everybody hears about this. But how many of us have heard about the angels, al-malaika, whispering in our ears, trying to push us to the good? How many of you heard this? Well, let's go to the hadith. This hadith is narrated by Imam Tirmidhi through Hadrat Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, inna lish shaytani lamma walil malaki lamma. Fa amma lammatu shaytan fa i'adun bil shar wa takdhibun bil haqq. وأما لمة الملك فإعاد بالخير وتصديق بالحق فمن وجد ذلك أي لمة الملك فليعلم أنه من الله فليحمد الله الحمد لله ومن وجد غير ذلك أي لمة الشيطان فليتعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. The Prophet ﷺ is teaching us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave us just for the whispering of shaitan. No, the angels also whisper in us with goodness, with obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith goes, certainly shaitan whispers and the angel whispers. The whisper of shaitan, says the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a promise of evil. He tries to bring evil in front of us. And belying, takdhib, belying the truth, the haqq. And the whisper of the angel is a promise of goodness. And obedience to truth. So whosoever, says the Prophet, fears the whisper of the angel, let them know that this is from Allah. So let them say Alhamdulillah. And whosoever finds the whisper of shaitan, let them say A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Thumma qara'a an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallama qawla Allah ta'ala ash-shaytanu ya'idukum al-faqra wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha wallahu ya'idukum maghfiratan minhu wa fadla. Shaytan, the Prophet ﷺ quoted the ayah. Certainly shaytan promises you poverty. And he orders you to do evil, to do bad. Disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is promising you forgiveness from him and his favor, fadla. So my dear respected brothers, young and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us between two forces. The angelic force that pushes us, that helps us to do good. And the satanic force, the rebellious force, that is trying to push us toward evil and toward the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Iblis did not bow down to Adam. So the young brothers and many other brothers and sisters ask the question, did Iblis really receive an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bow down to Adam? Because the ayah says, and remember that your Lord said to the angels, bow down to Adam. So all of them did so except Iblis. But in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly explains that there was an order given to Iblis. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ Allah, مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What stopped you from bowing down as I ordered you? So in Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly answers the question that Iblis had a clear and direct order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bow down to Adam. What did he say? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ. You created me from fire. وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ. And this is the problem of Iblis. You know, think about it. The ulama say the fact that Iblis was among the malaika, among the angels, showed that he had a high status. But what happened then? What went wrong? The ulama said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him an order to test his ikhlas. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So his khatima was not good. His end was not good, which shows, the ulama say, which shows that he was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the outside. He was not mukhlis, he was not sincere. So when it came to this order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed him and exposed his false obedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Iblis, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the ayah that he was a kafir. What made him a kafir? The word in the ayah, Abba. The word Abba made Iblis a kafir. What does this word mean? Illa Iblisa Abba. Refused the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama teach us that the kalima la ilaha illallah has prerequisites and also has things that nullify it. You know, people talk about nawaqid al-wudu. نواقض الوضوء, the things that nullify the wudu. Also, there are نواقض for the kalima, things that if a person does knowingly and with full intention, their kalima will be nullified. They will come out of Islam. So let's talk quickly about the conditions of the kalima. And we will see that what Iblis has done, which is to refuse a clear order from Allah, nullifies the kalima, breaks the kalima, breaks la ilaha illallah. The first prerequisite, shart, condition of la ilaha illallah, of kalima, is al-ilm, knowledge. So a person must know the meaning of la ilaha illallah. And to fully believe in la ilaha illallah, the ulama talked about three things. Things that come from the servants, from al-ibad, from the creation toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Things that come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala toward the creation. And finally, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The things that go from us toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, called ibadah. So la ilaha illallah means no one is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does the word ibadah mean? Anything that comes from the creation toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like salah. Our salah must be only for Allah. What else? Our dua, our fasting, our sacrifice. These are ibadatul jawarih, things that we do as actions. But also, ibadah in the heart is very important. Our tawakkul is only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ikhlasun niyyah is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all the things that come from us toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a form of worship, be it actions with the body or with the heart, must be done only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is called ibadah or tawheedul uluhiyyah. The second part of knowing the meaning of la ilaha illallah is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does toward the creation. And this is known as tawheedul rububiyyah. Allah is the only Rabb. So what comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala toward the creation? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only Khaliq, the only Malik, the only controller, the only sustainer. Right? Allah هو الخالق والكل مخلوق. Allah هو المالك والكل مملوك. Allah سبحانه وتعالى هو الرازق والكل مرزوق. والله يحكم لا معقب لحكمه. والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. So I must know that Allah سبحانه وتعالى as a Rabb, He has no partner. He is the only creator. He is the only controller. He is the only sustainer. And the third part is asma wa sifat, the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the general rule that will keep us safe, laysa kamithlihi shay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Al-Quran kalamullah. The Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But He doesn't speak like us. He doesn't have tongue and mouth and teeth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all the creation at the same time. You know, right now, all the humans, all the fish, all the ants, all the insects, all the birds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hearing all of them individually. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing everyone individually. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we read Surah Al-Fatiha, the first two ayat explain these three types of tawheed. Alhamdu lillah, He is Allah, the only one worthy of worship. Rabb, He is Ar-Rabb, the controller, the sustainer, the creator, the only one. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Asma' wa Sifat. That's why Al-Fatiha is the greatest surah in the Quran. So the first thing is to understand the meaning of La ilaha illallah. The second thing for La ilaha illallah to be correct is to have yaqeen on it. To have certainty on La ilaha illallah. Not just say it, not just know it. Because many people know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, but they don't have yaqeen on it. Imam Muslim narrated through Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله كلمة لا يلقى بهما عبد غير شاك فيهما إلا دخل الجنة يقينا لا إله إلا الله. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said لا إله إلا الله and Muhammad رسول الله. Whosoever comes the last day of judgment with full yaqeen on them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them with Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all of the people of Jannah. The third condition is acceptance. Some people know the meaning of La ilaha illallah, have yaqeen that it's true, but they did not accept it. Who is the classical example? Abu Talib. Abu Talib did not accept La ilaha illallah. He knew. He knew he has poetry saying that the deen of Muhammad is the best deen. But he did not accept it. He was afraid of the blame of the Quraishis. So he did not accept it. So acceptance must be there. The fourth condition is obedience to La ilaha illallah. I must know that the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the norms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us is the best. I must be obedient to that. I must apply that in my life. Five, as-sidq. I must be truthful to La ilaha illallah, meaning the person is not just saying it from the tongue. The classical example is the hypocrites. And the ulama tell us أن هناك علم الدين وعمل الدين وحقيقة الدين. The ulama tell us we have علم الدين, the knowledge of deen. عمل الدين, the action of deen, the أعمال. And حقيقة الدين, the truth of deen. So in علم الدين, this is common between the Muslim and non-Muslim. How many Westerners studied Islam and studied the Quran and studied Arabic language and studied Hadith? MashaAllah. They have so much knowledge. So they share with the Muslim ilmu al-deen, the knowledge of deen. Now when it comes to amal al-deen, the a'mal of deen, this is common between the Muslim and the hypocrites. The hypocrites used to pray behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you imagine? Praying in the Masjid Nabawi behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. But haqiqatul deen is only for true Muslims and true believers. So there is a difference between ilmul deen, amalul deen, and haqiqatul deen. Haqiqatul deen is only for true believers. The sixth condition of La ilaha illallah is ikhlas. Imam Bukhari narrated through Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, As'adu al-nasi bi shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah, man qala la ilaha illallahu khalisan min qalbi. The happiest person of my shafa'ah, of my intercession at the last day of judgment, is the person who said la ilaha illallah with ikhlas, purely from his heart. And the last one is al-mahabba. We should not love anything or anyone more than we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. That among the people, there are ones who take partners beside Allah, that they love them like they love Allah. But the true believers, Allah says, they love Allah the most. So Iblis, he became a kafir because he rejected a direct order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, bow down to Adam. He He did not bow down to Adam. And we must remember something that the ulama said. Yes, we recited the conditions of the kalima, which means if one of these conditions is broken, the kalima will be broken. Now, if I see someone and think that someone has broken one of these conditions, can I call that person a kafir? The answer is no. Why? Because this is for the ulama. The ulama must sit down with this person and explain to them. They might be ignorant. They might have, you know, a certain ahwal. So the ulama must sit down with them and explain to them. And beyond doubt, talk to them. Then probably for those great ulama, these big muftis, they can say that that person is a kafir. So in the meantime, we can say that these conditions are to guarantee that the person stays away from kufr. But we cannot pinpoint that a certain person is a kafir per se. This is the job and the work of the ulama, and it has a big and long process. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى. He refused. وَاسْتَكْبَرْ. This is the second problem of Iblis. Kibr. Arrogance. And you know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in one hadith narrated by Imam Muslim through Hadrat Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that anyone that has the smallest part, dharra, mithqalu dharra, dhar in the language of the Arab at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refer to the smallest ant. You know these smallest ants, the very tiny ones that you barely see with your eyes? The Prophet ﷺ says, anyone who has that much of arrogance in his heart will not enter Jannah, will not go to paradise. And the hadith goes like this, لا يدخل الجنة من كان في قلبه مثقال ذرة من كبر. He will not, or she will not enter paradise. The one who has in his heart the amount of dharra, of arrogance. قال رجل, a man said, إن الرجل يحب أن يكون ثوبه حسنا ونعله حسنا. يا رسول الله, one of us like to have a nice clothing and nice shoes. The question is saying, if I like my clothing to be nice and my shoes to be nice, in another riwayah, another narration, وَرَكُوبُهُ حَسَنًا, his ride, which means 2018, his car is nice. Is this part of arrogance? This is the question of the Sahaba. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبِّ الْجَمَالِ. Certainly Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Allahu Akbar. Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Al-kibru batru al-haqqi wa ghamtu an-nas. Then the Prophet ﷺ defined what arrogance is. He said, Al-kibru batru al-haqqi. Al-haqq is the truth, the right of people. Batru al-haqq is when somebody knows the right of people and he rejects it, or she rejects it. So arrogance is if somebody knows the truth and he rejects the truth. This is the first part. The second part, وَغَمْتُ النَّاسِ, to look at people from up down. He thinks or she thinks they are better than everyone else. What did the statement that shaitan used? He said, no, I am better than him, right? خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار, you created me from fire and created him from teen, from mud. Think about this statement. Was it in the hand of Adam to be created from teen, from mud? No. Was it in the hand of shaitan, of Iblis and jinn to be created from fire? The answer is no. So why is Iblis comparing something that was not in his hand or the hand of Adam? So even his argument is wrong. What does that tell us, my dear respected brothers, young and elders? That we should not compare ourselves to anyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every human being different means. And all these means has one purpose. What is the purpose? Ibtila, to test us. So the one who has money, that is a test. The one who doesn't have money, that is also a test. It's all test. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم. He will test you in whatever He provided for you. In Surah Al-Fajr, فَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانُ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Fajr, and when the insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him, provides for him good things, the insan says what? Oh, I am honored with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is karama from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ فَقَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَهَانًا. But on the other hand, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not provide so many means for insan, insan usually says what? Allah disgraced me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers, Kalla. This is wrong and this is wrong. Both cases is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing everyone in whatever means He provided for us. Now, I'm almost done, inshallah. I have a hadith in addition to the hadith that I recited about arrogance. So remember, the definition of arrogance is clear in Islam. Two things: rejection of truth or the rights of people knowingly. The second one is to look up, down to people. That is arrogance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, كما عند الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله من حديث سيدنا عمرو بن شعيب عن أبيه عن جده أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يحشر المتكبرون يوم القيامة أمثال الذر. الله أكبر. في صور الرجال. الله أكبر. يغشاهم الذل من كل مكان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, at the last day of judgment, those who used to have arrogance in their hearts will be brought up to يوم القيامة. The picture is a human being, insan, but the size of what? Dhar, the smallest ant. In another riwayah, people will step on them. يغشاهم الذل من كل مكان. ذلت, مهانة, you know, disgrace will come to them from everywhere. Why? Because of their arrogance. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the first disease, from the first ma'siyah that was committed in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the lifetime of Adam alayhi salam. Before Adam, we are not sure if there were any creation that disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since Adam was created, the first sin, the first ma'siyah, and the worst ma'siyah that was committed, that was arrogance, my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from this quality. So inshallah, let's come up to the end and review the entire ayah. وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ, we said to the angels, bow down to Adam. أُسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ. فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسِ, except Iblis. أَبَى, he refused the order of Allah and therefore became kafir. But worse, وَاسْتَكْبَرْ, he was arrogant. أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. The last thought that I would like to end today's halaqah with is that think about these two forces that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put the insan between them, the angelic force and the satanic force. What both forces are doing is a very simple thing. What is it that the angelic force does and the satanic force does? It's the power of da'wah. That's it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put us just between goodness and badness. He just did not put us and said, okay, here is goodness, good way, and bad way. No. There is a force that making da'wah to us all the time, reminding us of the good way. And there is another force making da'wah to us, reminding us of the bad way, pushing us toward that way. That's why shaitan in Jahannam will make a khutbah. The ulama call it the khutbah of shaitan. Have you heard of it? In Surah Ibrahim alayhi salam. The ulama call it the khutbah of shaitan, the bayan of shaitan. It's a bad bayan. It's a bad khutbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like it, but the ulama call it that way. What does he say? وَقَالَ الشَّيْطَانُ لَمَّا قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ. And shaitan said, when it was over, مَا كَانَ لِي عَلَيْكُم مِّن سُلْطَانِ. I did not have any authority on you, إِلَّا أَكْسَبْ أَنْ دَعَوْتُكُمْ. I made da'wah for you. فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي. And you obeyed me. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي. Do not blame me. وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. But blame yourselves. So yes, we decide. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the design of this life that there is a constant reminder from the angels that making da'wah to us to do good. And there is a constant reminder from shaitan and the jinn to us to do bad. And please remember that shaitan is two types. There is shaitan insan and shaitan jinn. There is shaitan from insan and shaitan from jinn. You know, shaitan jinn is waswas khannas. You say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim, he shuts up immediately. But shaitan insan is more dangerous. Why? Because he speaks our language. He knows our feelings. And he understands our mentality. You know, in Surah An-Nas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to make isti'adha. Let's recite the surah. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ إِلَهِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So shaitan is from insan and from jinn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another ayah in the Quran, shayateen al-insi wal-jinn. In Surah Al-Baqarah, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Iblis, at the beginning of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned shayateen insan. وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, I leave you with this thought. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made da'wah. Wallahu yad'u ila dar as-salam. Allah is inviting to the place of salam, the place of peace. On earth it is the masjid. And after qiyamah it is al-jannah. All the prophets had made da'wah. Even the jinn made da'wah. Jinn, good jinn, Muslim jinn does da'wah. They made da'wah. In the surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they heard the Quran from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what happened? They immediately went to their people doing da'wah. Can you imagine? They just heard the Quran. They just believed in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and immediately they ran to make da'wah. Do you know that the jinn heard the Quran twice from Rasulullah ﷺ? One time, when he was going traveling with the Sahaba. And they just came and listened to the Quran, and Rasulullah taught them. The second time when he was coming back from At-Ta'if. That is the incident when the jinn went to make da'wah. Why? Because his trip to At-Ta'if was a trip of da'wah. So by the barakah of going to that da'wah to At-Ta'if, the jinn who accepted Islam and they became da'i immediately. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the first thing that they have done after accepting Islam, and that thing was to become da'i. And da'wah is the job of everyone. At our house, at the masjid, at our work. And the best da'wah is the da'wah of action. How can I beautify Islam in the eyes of everyone? That is the most effective da'wah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make these words of blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to apply in our lives and convey the message. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.